As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's really about the 69.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back. As I'm loving it. I'm loving how much what's going on around here. Astros looking for a sweep tonight. You got the Rockets with a big one. I believe a must-win game tonight.
Yeah!
Against the Golden State Warriors, the hated Golden State. Have they, I didn't mean to go here, but real quick, have they surpassed the Utah Jazz as the most hated team? Or is it Dallas?
For generational purposes.
Are they this Steph Curry, this group? Because they have caused a lot of exits, especially recently for the Rockets, especially in those Harden years. Are they the team that is hated the most by the Rocket fan base?
I think so.
Right now?
I think that's safe to say.
I know some people, when we do some of these things, the Utah Jazz, from back in the day, we're teams in there.
Obviously, I get
the
that.
Mavericks, but for the most part, over time, the Rockets have been better than the Mavericks.
Yeah,
but
I also really had some sports hate in my heart for the early 2000s, 2010s, those Lakers teams, because the Rockets were meeting up with them in the playoffs. I feel like pretty often, Derek Fisher, Kobe. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's safe to say Golden State's got a. Got that sports hate title in Houston right now.
I went to was at a little lunch spot the other day. Did lunch over at Biggio's probably.
What up, Craig?
Two, 3 weeks ago. And
shout out, Kevin.
Our waitress had something tattooed on her neck. And I can't remember what it was, but it was one of those that could mean several things. One of them being the Golden Gate, the Golden State Warrior. I can't remember what exactly it said.
Ugh.
So I asked her. I said, what exactly does that mean on your neck? And she said, I'm a big Golden State Warrior fan. I said, ooh, that must be tough around these parts. She said, yeah, I catch a lot of hell out here.
I bet you do. Yeah.
Wonder when she became a fan.
She moved out here. I asked her. She's from out that way.
Text line coming in. Golden State will never exceed the Jazz hate, but F the Warriors. Golden State and the Lakers are the most hated Kobe as a kid.
Those Lakers teams I was talking about, man, I'd be watching those playoff series with the Rockets just fuming.
Yeah. Is that with the weird uniform Rockets? The Yao Ming? Is that the Yao Ming? You said early 2000s.
Yeah, McGrady, Yao.
Yeah, those bad. Oh, well.
It's like the red ones with like the gray or silver.
Oh, so just out of the rocket ship ones that they had.
Those were the ones you were calling weird?
I don't know. I wasn't a fan.
I love them rocket ship throwbacks.
I wasn't a fan. Those, when they wore those as their primary, yeah. I guess that's more Steve Francis. when they wore those as the
Tino Mobley.
I wasn't a fan of those. I'm glad they got back to the regular.
Yeah, that was the first generation of the like red and white ones.
Yeah. I got you now. All right, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, newest member of the Texans secondary, spoke to the media yesterday, and I found it interesting. I think as a Texans fan, I think you will get football horny, football frisky, might want to tussle with your wife or your husband from this. Shout out to Julie, who checked in as the number one female listener today. Crushing male, but some of you may really get excited about this, but I feel like it's worth discussing if it's an accurate thing here. Here's C.J. Gardner-Johnson talking about where this team is for him this year.
Championship or nothing. He ain't bring me here to win no division or no conference. So if I'm here to help win the Super Bowl, that's gonna be the reason. But I think people know. A lot of people look at this team is like, oh, you know, they got a lot of great pieces. But me to you, I think it's more than just a lot of great pieces. You got a great culture here, great organization. I think the more you fill this up with winners, not just me, because D'Amico was a winner. Runner Darby was a winner. Will was a winner. So you just fill the room up with winners. I think you're going to get what you want. And I think we're going to get it real soon.
Shout out to Ronald Darby slipping into that is a winner conversation there. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, championship or nothing. That's what he came in and he said, championship or nothing, which I like to call S-Bob. Super Bowl or bust, baby. S-Bob team. Shout out to Chris Broussard, who dubbed that S-Bob team. Super Bowl or bust. That's what he said. By the way, I would think a lot of Texans fans would take a conference championship that would be entering the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people would take that. Never been there before. But S-Bob, do you view? I'm glad he feels that way. He should feel that way. That's how the Texans inside the building should feel. 713-572-4610 on the Jim Antler, the Texas Hammer text line, YouTube and Twitch. Do you look at the Texans and feel they're a S-Bob team?
No, sir. They're a couple of pieces away. They are some offensive speed away. They are there's too much inexperience for me to put them there on the offensive side of the football. When you look at we talked at length yesterday about kind of how this offense appears to be aligned, but when you look at Nick Caley, Gerard Johnson, and C.J. Stroud, there's a lot of inexperience. There's a lot of, I ain't never done it. I've never managed a game. I've never called a game. I've never, depending on what Gerard Johnson is actually responsible for from a game plan, play design standpoint, there's a lot of, I've never done it before. Sure, behind the scenes and been a part of some good offenses and understand some good offenses. Sure, I get that. Former player, I get that. But let's not minimize what the role of a coach is and a play designer is and a play caller and a game manager. There's been some great quarterbacks or great players or great coaches even not be able to do all of that and manage all of that. So, yeah, for me, I think there's not enough speed offensively. I think they're missing some pieces offensively from a protection standpoint, from some package player standpoint. And I think there's too much youth in the decision-making room overall on the offensive side of the football for me to put them there.
S-Bob team, Tyler, is this a Super Bowl or bust team, Tyler? And you're right now this year.
Right now, as it stands today,
going into this year, you say this is an S-Bob team. Some people on the text line are saying yes, they are. They should be.
Questions like this are risky. You can fall into a real loser-ass mentality. But I'm gonna say no. Because that next step is an AFC title game, and we would be ecstatic in Houston if that happened.
Again, I think that's exactly how they should be thinking in the locker room, right? I think that's exactly
right.
how that should be the thought. As to those that are texting in, yes, they are a Super Bowl or bust type team. Someone texted, "Hey Ron, I'm going to call my shot right now. I think the Texans are going to get a lineman in the offensive line from Texas, and I think they're going to get a receiver from Texas and a running back coming out of the draft, and then maybe we could talk. When I look at Super Bowl or bust teams, Clint, I look at the Eagles. That's an S-Bob team, you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Chiefs, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl, the things that they've done and what they have. The Bills, I think the Bills, Chiefs, and Ravens, they all are in it, and they all fall into the deal, Clint, of they've got Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. It's always Super Bowl or bust. I think the Lions fit that. For me, those are the only teams that I look at that, and some people may say the Bengals because of Joe Burrow, but I think you're coming off of not making the playoffs, and your defense looks the way it is. I don't know that I would go in and say that they're on those teams' level. But outside of the Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and Lions, like I don't know who else would fit into that, and I just don't see the Texans being in that mindset, in that speaking. I think they have some parts and are close to potentially that. Oddly enough, as I said, I think they were that last year. I would have, like, going at this point last year with the weapons they had, we thought the offensive line they were going to have, and the defense and the growth, I would have put them in that conversation last year. But right now, I'm with you. I look at those five teams, and I just don't get the sense they're on that level because they have, as you said, more questions.
Well, last year, I think from a roster perspective, they were closer because of some of the big names they brought in and the receiving core, the weapons they had, and what the thought was that they could be more aggressive offensively. The thought from us, anyway, was that they were aligned in the building. Now we see in hindsight, clearly it was a ticking time bomb with Bobby Slowick in the building. And so they were further away than we thought. But I mean, this goes back to my original point when D'Amico Ryans got hired, in my opinion, is, you know, the biggest thing for D'Amico Ryans, there's two things. Number one, you got to guarantee me that we're going to have one of the top defenses in the league every year, year in, year out, if you're going to be the head coach, if you're going to hire a defensive-minded head coach. He's checked that box. Number two, he's got to continuously find whether it's because one guy doesn't work like Bobby Slowick or it's because one guy's great like Ben Johnson and they move on, you got to constantly find the right offensive mind and have that next man up in place. And right now, that ultimately has been the Achilles heel of D'Amico Ryans and the Texans right now. Offensively, good first year. Great first year, relatively speaking.
Yeah, from what they had.
And then that offensive coordinator that imploded on you right there. Now you got to start over, and now you go with Nick Caley, put a lot of trust in CJ and Gerard. We'll see if it works. So, I think you got a championship defense. I think you got a Super Bowl caliber defense. I really do.
I was just going to say the text line, some of the text coming in, I think the Texans have a S-Bob defense. I don't know if they have it on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's kind of what you were getting to also coming in. This is an AFC championship game, team or bust. It's time to finally get over the hump, Brent in the Heights. I trust the coaches to overcome the lack of experience and to acquire the players they need to go to S-Bob. And Irwin goes here, Clint. Texans can't beat the Ravens. Anyone else, I think they have a chance. If someone else beats the Ravens, then yes, they are an S-Bob team. I don't know. I just don't know that they're there yet. Now, hell, it can change mid-season. You know, you can get into the season and do, like, 2 years ago, going into the year, I didn't think the Lions were Super Bowl or bust, and then we got into the season and we saw why they were up by three scores against San Francisco in the NFC Championship game because they got to that point. So, they have a lot of the parts and pieces. Their defense is going to be a absolute problem all season long for everybody. Their defense is going to keep them in game. They've got a quarterback, Clint, that we've seen have the potential to be special, right? They've got a special receiver. If Joe Mixon is still to the way that he has been and he was last year, they've got a back that can do something. They just have other questions, major questions, in front of them right there. So that is That's the latest there.
Great football teams, great offensive football teams find a way to overcome pressure and overcome shortcomings. And right now, for what we saw last year, it was like the shortcomings were magnified because nobody in the building had the ability to get it right, to overcome it, to, as you always say, quarterbacks, to be the fixer. Nobody had the ability to do that last year. It just got worse and worse and worse and worse, and it reared its ugly head in the biggest moment of the season with the game on the line against Kansas City. That overall is the biggest question mark I have as in terms of, is this team a Super Bowl or bust type of team? Is offensively, I don't care if it's because there's more Gerard Johnson and C.J. Stroud. I don't care if it's something Nick Caley, magically does. I don't care if it's the fact you get Laremy Tunsil out of here. Now you got a better group as a whole. However you get it done. You got to have guys that in some way, shape, or form, schematically, the quarterback raising his play, whatever it may be, a crazy amount of speed and weapons, Nico being a top three receiver, whatever it may be, you got to have the ability to overcome that and shine in those biggest moments. Right now, the other teams you mentioned, we've seen them do that for the most part. This team, not so much.
Yeah,
got to see more.
Someone text in, is Washington S. Bob?
I would say no.
They feel very much like the Texans from last year, as like making moves to try to get, like, adding Debo, adding Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. I don't know, Clint. I might have him in that.
Yeah, no, I don't. Miss hell of a run. It's an impressive run. I'm wrong, but
and I think a part of it, learning from what happened with the Texans last year, is a part of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a group. If their quarterback takes the next step, like you would imagine, they still have Cliff. They still have their guys there.
Retain their play caller. Yeah.
You add Debo. You get a better.
I think
left
they're
going
to be really good, and we may have a conversation at the end of the year. But nah, right now I can't put them in that category.
All right, we talked about this a bit earlier. I want to get this from James Palmer. He says I wouldn't put it past the Texans to move up and move for an offensive lineman that fits what they're trying to build up front. A new culture and identity of tough, hard-nosed SOBs. Houston also, remember, has the ammo. They have an extra third this year and an extra second and fourth next year. So as we talked about yesterday, they've got extras and ammunition to go up and move up if they need to. So we'll see. And if you're talking moving up offensive linemen, that don't sound like you're talking about Tyler Booker. I feel like Tyler Booker, unless he goes earlier than some people think, I feel like Tyler Booker would be in the range for them to be able to make a move there. All right, coming up, it is Wednesday. We do this each and every Wednesday. A little stock up and stock down, NFL Draft Edition. We will do that coming up next.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Does anyone actually know where this bell came from? Very old school.
Some freak?
Probably. You are tuned in to The Drive with Sterner and Hughley every Wednesday. Right around this time, we do a little stock up, stock down. Today's edition is the NFL Draft. It is NFL Draft Eve, if you will. First round of the NFL Draft getting going tomorrow night. And you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610 with Mark Vandermeer and company following this very program. And I want to start with you today around the show. Like I am known to do, get the negative out of the way for you going into tomorrow night for these Houston Texans and the NFL and the 2025 NFL Draft. Stock down to you, Ron.
My stock down is to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are in a tough spot right now.
Speculate. Speculate.
They have a championship-level team where I don't think... Besides quarterback, they have a lot of just gotta fill it up holes right now. And I probably should choose my words better than that dealing with this guy here.
You're the one that caught it. I didn't even check out.
That's a drop.
I'm inclined to hear it. They don't have a lot of holes that they need to cover. like immediate to be in the first round, except for quarterback, Clint. And they have this situation where Aaron Rodgers, where for some reason we all thought that deal would get done. It has not gotten done yet. And now they're even to a point where Aaron Rodgers, in a way, sounds like it's up in the air if he actually wants to play football. And as I said, they've got a winning team, offense, defense, weapons, but they also need a quarterback. And as you said earlier today, I believe they hadn't had a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger. They've been trying to find that quarterback. And if they move up to go get a quarterback or sit there and get a quarterback, that might run off Aaron Rodgers for coming.
Right.
So stock down for the Steelers. They need to get a quarterback. And their best chance to win is with Aaron Rodgers. But if they draft a quarterback, let's say they move up to get Shadur, or they sit there to get Shadur or Jackson Dart, that might send Aaron Rodgers to a place of, well, hell no, man, I'll just chill. So stock down for the Steelers right now.
Stock down. Yeah, no, I still think they're sitting pretty. I don't know.
Think they're sitting pretty?
Well, it's not an ideal situation by any means. They don't have their guy, but I do think that I don't think the Aaron Rodgers thing should or ever had any influence on what they're going to do in the draft, whether they're going to take a quarterback in the first round or second round. Like, I don't. You're not drafting Cam Ward and starting him right away. So I think you.
But do you think it would have a? Do you think it runs the risk to have an effect on Rodgers' decision?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't care if it did. I mean, if it did, yeah, then we're going to steer away from Rodgers. No, I don't think it does. I mean, I think Aaron knows. Hell, he's talking about being 41 and being in a serious relationship. I mean, he knows he's on borrowed time as the NFL goes, as relationships go, as life goes. I mean, at the end of the day, I think he's fully aware that he's not a guy that somebody's going to commit to for 4 or 5 years. I mean, I think he'd be fine with a young quarterback being underneath him.
We do not care.
There you have it. That's Ron Stockdown on a Wednesday. This is The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Ron Stockdown, Pittsburgh Steelers. Today's flavor of Stock Up, Stockdown, the NFL draft, because that is getting rolling tomorrow. Again, you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Over to you, Clint. What's your stock down for the 2025 NFL draft?
Well, the stock down, we've talked about Shadur Sanders. I mean, I think that's a low-hanging fruit of clearly, you know, the stock's down. How much, I don't know, but there's some negative reports out there, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people do that and don't get their name. They don't put their name on it, and then media outlets still run with it. It's unfortunate that that's even legal to do.
We will deal with that.
Yeah, so that's a low-hanging fruit. But I'm going to go with another one. I think that the Tyler Shuck kid out of Louisville that was at Texas Tech, I thought this was my camp crush, if you will, my combine crush, if you will. I thought that this guy would – I didn't think he would ever, in conversation around the draft, catch up with Shadur and Cam, but I thought he would be neck and neck with Jackson Dart and company. If anything, he's probably slid and kind of fell out of the conversation. Yeah, Jalen Milroe's been the more prominent conversation being had. So I would say, for me personally, just a little quarterback spin on things, I thought that guy would be a first rounder and a guy that could flirt with the Jackson Dart area, wherever he ends up falling. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I'll go with the quarterback out of Louisville, Tyler Shuck.
All right, we got them negatives out of the way. Those are your stock downs from Ron and Clint. This is Stock Up, Stock Down, live on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley every Wednesday right around this time we do it. We're talking NFL draft today, and I want to pop back over to you, Ron. Now we're going to focus on the good stuff as the 2025 NFL draft gets going, round one tomorrow. What is your stock up, Ronnie?
My stock up is to Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle out of Texas. I've looked at a lot of boards. I'm looking at the New York Post. They just did their final draft board. Kelvin Banks, who was in a space where potentially people thought they would.
New York Post. What is that? Is that typically who?
I mean, they're people who do.
I didn't know they did a draft.
Do a draft. Your sports page, yeah.
Oh. I got a message. Your sports page.
I'm looking at the New York Post. I'm looking at NBC Sports. I've looked at several of them here, and there was a time where there was a thought that he might be there at 25 for the Texans. New York Post has the Jets drafting him at 7. NBC Sports has the Saints drafting him at 9. He has been in the top 10 for some, but easily in the top 12 to 15, Clint, and has really shot up. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. I've watched him play a lot, and it's not like, he is somebody that's going to come in the league and be a top 10 pick or a top 15 pick. Like Ohio State, he had problems in that championship game. Now, maybe there was an injury with that. But even all year long, when I watched him, I just didn't get a dominant feel from him. And it is, and he has really taken a jump up. So, stock up to him. I wasn't in love with him as a tackle.
It is NFL Draft Eve. It begins tomorrow. We're doing a little stock up, stock down. Ron gave you Pittsburgh Steelers as a stock down. That was a stock up. Kelvin Banks, over to you, Clint. Your stock up for tomorrow's NFL Draft.
Well, I'm going to go with Nick Caserio. He has dropped an F-bomb this week in opening statements to the media. Was that last week or this week?
Last week, yep.
So he got off to a really good start talking draft. I love that. The team that he has built so far, some of the draft picks that they've made, you know, we focus a lot on the negatives, but there have been some really, 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 really good draft picks, and I think in come draft season, we kind of start highlighting that. And then Nick Caserio, tip the cap. I am be aggressive in the draft, and I had no idea that Nick Caserio since 2021, since getting here in Houston, was it 2020 or 2021? Anyway, he has been the most aggressive GM in the game, just from a movement perspective as well as from moving up in the draft perspective. And so I tip my cap to all that. Because of all that movement, because of where the Texans are right now, Nick Caserio is getting a lot of run in this draft season about potentially moving up because of his history kind of deal. Nick Caserio is one that's winning right now. Stock is up, and he's being talked about in a positive light right now more than maybe more so than any time other than when he made the C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson move.
That big Nick energy.
I think his stock is up just because he's in a spot where he can do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like he's got, as we talked about, he's got the ammo to go up if he wants to. Like, he's in a situation where he could drop back and be fine because I think that the draft would be all right. And I don't think Texans fans would be incredibly ticked off if he dropped back. And I think also, Clint, the stock is up because of what they need. There are some clear guys in the area that he can get at O-line and wide receiver. So I'm with you. I think stock up for Nick, especially when it comes to what he can do over the next several days. All right. As the Rockets get rolling tonight, we have heard this. I've seen it from you on the text line. I've seen it from you on YouTube and Twitch on social media. Do you think it is an overreaction to say that the Rockets need to make some lineup changes for game two? Is it an overreaction? We'll discuss that next.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a big one tonight. Big one tonight. An hour from now, you will hear from Brandon Scott. He has been out. He's covered this team as much and as well as anybody out there. He is our guy. He will be at the game tonight, and he will be in studio with us. 4:40, Rockets report, and they got to have this. They got to have Martin Maldonado will be there. Not sure if that actually is the case, but it would be. I think it would be good luck. Debbie, the Texan's going to be out there. C.J. Stroud, I believe, I'm announcing this right, I believe he's going to be out there. Slim Thug is supposed to be out there as he is even battling through items being stolen from him. He is still going to be there. So Matthew Knowles, he'll be there. It is going to be star-studded. Everybody's going
who is
to be.
Matthew Knowles?
Beyonce's father. They'll be out there. Not only does Carl Lewis go to Sabercats games, he will also be, as from my sources, he will be out there as well.
I think Larry Durker, too.
Larry Durker.
You got a big list, man.
He's still with us, right? Larry's still
yeah.
With us. Okay. All right, Larry Durker will be there. Yep, a lot of people. This is a big one. The stars are coming out. They know how big this is. Wade Phillips, he'll be there as well. So a lot happening in a huge game tonight. And I want to throw this one out because I've seen this from many of you. And I just kind of want to get an understanding from where people are right now. I know after the game Sunday, that was, oh, God, where the hell are we? Like 85 points? We can't hit nothing. We can't lose. And I think the feel is if you go down 0-2 and losing the two at home and have to go to Golden State, that's going to be a problem in chasing. Like, that's going to be a problem. What they have done historically at home during the playoffs is going to be a problem. Now that you've had a couple of days to breathe, and the NBA will help you with having two or three days in between games, do you feel like it's an overreaction to change and make lineup changes for game two? Or do you think it is to a point that they should do that? Where are you at? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, do you think that it is an overreaction to say the Rockets need to make some lineup changes?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm assuming we're talking starting lineup.
Starting lineup. Definitely starting lineup. Hell, even minutes. Because, I'm seeing a lot of, we got to let Cam Whitmore get some run.
Well, that's
we got to let Reed Shepard.
Somebody texted
if Fred's going to miss those many shots, why not get Reed Shepard?
Less Fred, I can get down with. More Cam and more Reed Shepard. I don't think that's the answer to beat Golden State. But hey, look, I'm a casual fan. So you tell, if that's what you believe in it. I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan. Now, here's the deal. The answer is yes, Ron. Whether you're talking about changing the starting lineup or you're talking about just changing minutes significantly to where the majority of the time this lineup is on the court, I think it has to happen. There's no way in hell that you can have Fred VanVleet again being a predominant ball handler for as long as he was. Whether he's hitting shots or not, you can't have that. And then on the flip side of that, there were times in that game where, yeah, Fred was part of it, but you look up and you got two bigs on the floor with Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith like that, and Fred like that. That can't be the case either. I mean, this has to be. I love, and I'm not saying you start it. I would love for him too. I'm not saying you start it, but we got to see more of it. The way they opened up the second half last week or Sunday night, and that was Jabari Smith, Amen Thompson, Jalen Green. It was Shingun, and I believe Brooks, Dylan Brooks was on the floor with him. Though that five right there, it's hell on defense. And you can absolutely roll out on offense. And you got shooters. You got guys that can attack downhill. You got a post presence with Shingun that can work inside and out. I'm just that is the lineup that I would prefer to see. And I love what I heard Amen Thompson talking about, which is we just because it's a playoff don't mean we got to play slower. We can play fast. We know we can. We did it in the second half, and it worked for us. We got to do it in this game. So. I think it's got to change.
They had some success with that. They had some success with Steven Adams in there, too. There were some lineups that maybe you thought, will Ime make some adjustments and we'll see that more.
Well, even with your double bigs, I like Jalen and Amen Thompson on the floor attacking. I like one of those two, if not both of them, on the floor attacking in all scenarios. But again, I don't know if that's the starting lineup changes that way, but that may be a bit aggressive, but I don't think what I'm saying is crazy as it pertains to what we saw last week, what we just heard Amen Thompson talking about, and you know, the outcome of last week's game. Here's the thing is they're not going to, whether it's Fred VanVleet on the floor or it's Jalen Green, they're not going to shoot as poorly as they did in game one. That wasn't a Golden State defense thing. That was a Rockets player issue. That's not going to happen. I think there's a much better showing regardless of what the Rockets do, but man, I'm in for shaking up that lineup for damn sure.
Text line coming to dance with who brung you?
Who brought you? That's my question. If I know who brought me, I would agree wholeheartedly. But I mean, seriously, every time I watched the Rockets this year, which was a lot, it looked different. Now, some of that had to do with injuries. Fred's injury issue. I think Jalen was the only one that was that wasn't injured and played the whole damn time, to be honest with you. So it looked different for that, for those reasons. But, I mean, to put it simply, whether it's Jabari, whether it's Jalen, whether it's Amen Thompson, whether it's Shingun, like, every time that I watched them, there was a different level of aggressiveness from those guys instead of a steady, this is what this guy's bringing to the table. And I'd like to see them all just pin their ears back and go do work.
Yeah, for those of, I think there's two things that I'm seeing a lot of. For those of you who are on and we'll get to the less serious, but the more serious of, hey, I think they should start the game with the lineup. Some people saying that they should start the game with the lineup you were talking about. Amen, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, Jabari into the starting lineup. That's been a big talk with Dylan Brooks and Shingun. And listen, I wouldn't pull the trigger on putting Fred on the bench yet. Now, I'm with you, Clint. I would really eyeball this thing and already know going into it, I want to get Jabari more minutes. I want to get, you know, some other guys more minutes and maybe have Fred less. But I would start Fred out to see if he makes the adjustments in the game and he plays a better game. Because I do think, like, if you run him to the bench, I wonder what that, you know, that one game just kind of took me out all years. Like, this has been our comic force and all this. And one game, bam, he's to the bench. And two, like, off of that, I don't know how he... I know you should say, well, he's a basketball player, he's getting paid, but people would be affected by that. I would imagine in the playoffs, I'm the one with the most experience. I have a bad game and I go to the bench. You don't want players looking around. You want them guys to be as confident as they can be out there. So I understand the thought. I do want to see more of Amen Thompson and Jalen Green running, like starting things to make the decision to either shoot for themselves or shoot for others. I'd like to see that with them more, and I'd like to see both of them, especially Amen Thompson on this, both of them be more aggressive. So I wouldn't do that. And then the unserious stuff, guys, stop it. Like, listen, Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore, they're good. They're good. They shouldn't be getting in these games unless there's injuries or foul outs. Right now, like, listen, they're promising young dudes, and I know you've watched Cam Whitmore score, but they playing in this environment, and I think as it comes to it, like, you got to get your guys to step up and play to the level they have played all year, and I totally agree with you, Clint. I don't think that Cam Whitmore and Reed Sheppard's the answer to jump in here to go against this Golden State team and what they're bringing together. If you got to get to that point, I think you're in real trouble. I think you're in real trouble. If at some point you're like, hey, man, we need a spark or we need to do something, so we need to bring in Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, yeah.
They just haven't been prepared for this situation.
Well, look, I mean, if you've got Amen Thompson and Jalen Green getting downhill and kicking to shooters, then cool. Bringing him in the game and letting him spot up and shoot a bit. Okay, cool. To spell somebody, I'm good with that, right? I mean, I'd argue that Eason and obviously Jabari and all those guys bring more to the table right now on the defensive end of the floor, especially when you need that defense against two greats and Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. But if you want to see if he can knock down a couple of shots, fine. But he don't have no place in this conversation. I mean, neither one of those guys have a place in this conversation. What I'm wanting Ime Udoka to do is to play the ones that you got. Like the texter said, dance with the ones that brought you, but let's adjust accordingly. And look, I think it is. I'm with you. I think it is aggressive if he sits down, Fred VanVleet.
Right up, yeah.
But I don't think it's too aggressive to ask him to carry his ass on down the floor and let Jalen Green bring this thing up a few times.
And I don't think it's aggressive to where, hey, if Fred is don't got it, and when I say don't got it, not just from a shooting perspective, from a decision-making perspective, if you start to see him start to roll the way he was in game one, Fred can play 15 minutes. He can play 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, he don't got to play 40. He can play that. You can adjust the time, but I don't think it's time to make knee-jerk decisions off one game. You won 50-plus games. You're the 2 seed in the West. I think you can ride. Now you go down 0-2, then hell, I mean everything's on the table at that point. But I think this would be a quick hook.
You one half of some poor ass shooting away from being in trouble.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you are. You
dig another 18-point hole against these cats. I don't know if you're gonna come back from that.
But if they could wake up from the second half, like that half, they woke up. If they could put that together, then you know it's a different thing. What you got coming up at the four?
Well, it's the thought is that there may be a lot of movement in this here draft that we're gonna start it. We're gonna crank up tomorrow. I got a live show at Avenida Plaza, by the way. But the thought is that there's gonna be a lot of movement. Boy, Nick Caserio's been awfully active in the past. And there's some, Ron, your favorite word, there's some swarmy players out there, man. Which one might Nick Caserio, D'Amico, Rhines make a move on? We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.